So during the summer, thank you for some extra time off over the summer. I really appreciated it. During the summer, when I was thinking and praying through what my first sermon with you here at Grace might be, I occasionally and perhaps strangely found myself thinking, I wonder what my last sermon series would be here at Grace. Not that I'm thinking of leaving, but I was just wondering. I wonder, when I'm able to add into my sermon preparation hindsight, when I'm able to look back over the highs and lows of a long ministry, when I'm able to bring to my preparation the laughter and the tears that we'd shared together as a people, when I look back over the dedication services and the funeral services, the gains and the losses, the times we got it very right and the times we got it very wrong, I wonder what I would preach on then. Well, Moses in the book of Deuteronomy is at the end of a long 40-year ministry to God's people. He led them out of slavery. He led them through the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. He led them through all of their desert wanderings. And now as we open chapter 1 together, he begins his last sermon. Not only his last sermon, but his last words to these people. What is Moses going to say in the light of all that has gone before? What's he going to say as the page turns onto a new chapter in the history of God's people? What is he going to say as they stood on the border of a new beginning? What is he going to say to get these people ready to move on into new territory? Well, my first sermons are going to be taken from Moses' last sermon. And we're going to do that for two reasons. Here's the first reason. Firstly, because Moses was able to bring to his last sermon what I am not able to bring to my first. 40 years of frontline ministry experience. Moses is an old and godly man. And there's so much in the way of wisdom and so much in the way of insight here in the book of Deuteronomy. And the second reason we're going to spend just a few weeks here in Deuteronomy is because there's much here in the way of parallel. We're not standing exactly where they stood, but we are as a people standing on the border of a new beginning. Today, the page is turning onto a new chapter in the history of God's people here in Southport. So, for just a few weeks, let us hear the word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 1, last words and first steps. We're going to be looking at the last words of Moses as he prepares the people for their first steps towards what God has in store for them next. Let me just tell you what I'm hoping to do over the next few weeks. Today we're going to be thinking about big moments. God's people were faced with a moment in time that they mustn't miss. That's going to be the theme of today. It won't be next week, but the week after we're going to look at big challenges. God's people there were faced with challenges they mustn't fear. Then after that, big mistakes. Moses confronts his congregation with, he reminds them of some of the mistakes God's people had made in the past. Look at big mistakes. And then finally, we're going to think about big changes. Moses was preparing God's people for a changing leadership and a changing culture. They were moving from a traveling community to a settled community. So Moses wanted to ready them for those changes. So let's hear God's words. Big moments. Johnny Wilkinson in the 2003 Rugby World Cup was handed the biggest moment in his playing career. So it's the second period of extra time. It's Australia, who were the hosts, 17. England, 17. I'm sure you remember that moment well. Time and energy is running out. It's been a physical game. But the play is set and the ball comes back to Wilkinson. And he was not only given the ball. He was given a moment to change rugby history. The ball is now in his hands. But it wasn't just the ball in his hands. The outcome of the game was at that moment in his hands. Just 26 seconds before the final whistle. And on his weaker right foot, Johnny Wilkinson dropped a goal that sealed the victory. It was his big moment. It was England's big moment. And he didn't let that moment slip away. He didn't let it slip through his hands. Not metaphorically, not actually. In a nutshell, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, God says to his people, 40 years ago, God gave us a moment. And we missed it. And we blew it. And we're not going to do that again. So verses 1 to 5, we get the introduction to the book. We get the who, that's Moses and God's people. We get the what, that's the explanation of God's word, that's words, that's what Moses was doing. We get the where, they're on the plains of Moab. And we get the when, it was the first day of the 11th month in the 40th year. Or to put it another way, here in the first five verses we're given the history, we're given the geography, and we're given the theology of the book of Deuteronomy. So let's just think about the theology for a moment. You can see that in verses 1 and verses 4. These are the words. These are the words that Moses spoke. In the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain the law. So what's Moses doing here? He's taking the words of God from that God had given them, given him and given to the people there in Sinai. And Moses here preaches God's word to God's people. That's what verse 5 says. He undertook to explain God's word. He took to explain God's law. Christopher Wright says that Moses here amplifies the theological and the ethical challenges of the commandments. What Moses does in the book of Deuteronomy is remind his people of who they are and how they should live. Perhaps the best example of that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you do have your Bibles open, it would be worth just turning to that for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Listen to how Moses takes the law of God and applies it to God's people. He says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." So in Deuteronomy we find God's words preached to God's people. But I want you to notice more than that. Will you notice that they are words preached in time and space? Verses 1, 2 and 5 give us the geographical setting of these words. The people who heard these words were amassed on the border of the promised land. Deuteronomy is sometimes described as a book on the border. And the geography is not insignificant. And neither is the history. Verse 3 gives us the historical setting. It dates it specifically. It's the end of Moses' 40-year leadership. It's the end at the end of the people's 40 years of desert wandering. Why is that important? Because God's word is for people in time and in place. Moses takes God's word and he applies it to their present circumstances for their future existence. That's what he's doing. Here's the lesson that we can see here. God's word intersects time and space. God's word intersects circumstances and situations. God's word intersects. It crosses borders. It crosses cultures. It crosses generations. And I just want to illustrate something of that for you. Would you look at verse 6? Moses rewinds some 40 years and he begins to tell the story. He begins to tell this new generation of the history of the journey so far. And this is what he says to them. "The Lord our God says to us, The Lord our God says to us. Now, some in Moses' congregation could have said, I wasn't there. It wasn't me. He didn't say it to me. I wasn't even born then. One of the big features of the book of Deuteronomy is the way that Moses speaks in an inclusive way to God's people. That's seen most clearly in verses like chapter 1, verse 26, where Moses rebukes them and he looks them in the eye and said, you would not go up. He said, you murmured in your tent. And maybe some in his congregation were thinking, no, I didn't. It wasn't me. I wasn't there. All of this happened 40 years earlier. This was before my time. So let me just bring you an early point of application. Let me bring that into the room this morning. Some of you might have been thinking, as I've done the preamble, as I've done this introduction to this book, to this series in Deuteronomy, some of you might have been sitting there thinking, what is this 3,500-year-old book with a weird name got to say to me? What is this book from a different time and a different place got to say to me? Well, can we learn that early lesson from this opening chapter of the book? That God's word intersects time and space, history and geography, situation and circumstance. And it's a word that crosses borders, cultures and generations. That was not just God's word to them there and then. It's God's word to us here and now. What does the history and the geography bring to the theology? Relevance. It's God's word to us here and now. And I want you to be convinced of that as we begin this little series in Deuteronomy. I want you to be convinced not only of the authority of God's word, but you also be convinced of the relevance of God's word. Of all the pastors you could have called, you got me. Of all the other churches you could have been sat in this morning, you're here. Of all the books of the Bible I could have preached to you on this morning, I'm here, you're there, and Deuteronomy is open in front of us. Today, God's voice is intersecting our geography and our history. The geography of Southport, the history of 2015, the word of God is as relevant today as the day Moses preached it then. So please, friends, brothers and sisters, will you receive it as such? Will you receive it as such this morning as we work through this first chapter? One of the big themes of Deuteronomy is hearing and responding to God's word. So, verses 1 to 5 really set out the scene. They outline the context as Moses begins to preach his last sermon series to them. Moses is determined, before he dies, to prepare this people to move forward in the right direction. And I want you to notice how he does that. He gets them ready to move forward by taking them back in their history. There's a Jewish expression which explains what's happening here. It goes like this. It's walking forwards, backwards. Which sounds like a riddle, but once understood, it makes perfect sense. Is my tie mic still on, Derek? Is that on? Let me just demonstrate that to you. So if I wanted to walk forwards, if I wanted to walk out the door this morning, okay, that's forwards. If I walk out forwards, backwards, I can't see what's ahead of me. I can only see what's behind me. Okay, does that make sense of the saying? Walking forwards, backwards. That's what Moses is doing here. We don't really know what's ahead of us, but we know what's behind us. And when you move forward, I want you to keep in view what was behind you. Will you learn the lessons of the past and take them with you into the future? That's what's happening here. That's what Moses does. He prepares them to move forward. Prepares them to face all of the challenges ahead by reminding them of the past. He takes them on a kind of a travelogue, a travel diary, a journal. And he begins there in verse 6 at a place called Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai. Let me just read those verses to you. The Lord our God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowlands and in the Negev and by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great sea and the river Euphrates. So verses 6 to 8 are really the first steps from Horeb towards the promised land. He's reminding them of the journey that happened 40 years previous. Who were those people at the base of Mount Sinai 40 years earlier? Who were they? They were the people of God. They were a people rescued from the land of slavery. They were a people who had received the commandments of God. And now God to that people said, it's time to move on. It's time to go. It's time to take possession of the land. I've saved you and I've shown you how to live. Now, get on with it. Get on with this journey. Go. Get up. Move on. Horeb was not the land of promise. It was a significant place for God's people, but it was not the dwelling place of God's people. They weren't meant to stay there. They may have been at the base of Mount Sinai for a little time, and maybe some of them had started to feel comfortable there. Maybe some of them had started to feel at home there. Maybe some of them had little desire to move on. But to that people, God said, it's time to go. It's time to move on. And the people did. The people heard God's word and they made those first steps in the right direction towards the promised land. But as we'll see a little later in the story, that they were only prepared to go so far. So verses 6 to 8, we see some wise steps. And then in verses 9 to 11, we get some wise steps. So verses 9 through to 18, we get some wise steps. Moses then reminds his congregation that he'd previously appointed wise leaders and he'd placed them in position throughout the tribes. You would have picked that up as we read through, commanders of hundreds and tens and so on. The inclusion of this part of the story seems a little weird, doesn't it? What's he saying here? Why has he included this? What's his point? I think the point is this. As they're setting out on a journey, leaders were appointed because leaders are to be followed. And followed not only directionally towards the promised land, but also followed ethically in the administration of God's law. So God had given them a good law, but good laws need good administration, and good administration needs good leaders. These leaders were not just appointed for where they walked, they were appointed for how they walked. So not only directionally, but also ethically. These leaders were appointed to help the people to walk in God's ways. Not only to walk towards the promised land directionally, but showing the people and helping the people how they should live as they made that journey and for when they settled down in the promised land. And I'm really glad to be part of a wise and a godly and a multidisciplined leadership team here. I'm glad to be part of this team. I want you to pray for us as a leadership, as we sit down and we pray together and as we work together and as we look for ways to lead you both directionally and ethically. Not just where we walk, but how we walk. Would you pray for us? We're meeting together on Thursday night. Would you flood your prayers with our names and our needs? Would you do that? As a leadership team here, we want to walk in God's ways. And we want to take you with us in God's ways. We want to be just like these men here. Righteous, impartial, fearless, not intimidated by anyone or anything. God's men. For now, for this age, for this church, for this place. Then we see verses 19 to 21, the doorstep. Verse 19, let me read that to you. Then we set out for Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. Hey, there's a name we came across earlier in the reading, wasn't it? That's a name we came across in verse 2. Kadesh Barnea was an oasis on the southern borders of the land. It was on the doorstep of the promised land. Here's the significance. Kadesh Barnea was the place where God's people could have and should have launched the invasion of the promised land 40 years earlier. So can you see what Moses has done here in his little travelogue? Can you see what he's done? As Moses looks out on his congregation, as Moses looks out on God's people, they're gathered on the borders of the promised land. What's he saying to them in verses 19 to 21? We've been here before. We've been in this place. We've been in this position before as a people. It's a deja vu moment. 40 years earlier, God had given this people a moment in time. God had handed them a golden opportunity. You could perhaps imagine Moses 40 years previous to this occasion, as they arrived at Kadesh Barnea for the first time. You can just imagine him look at the crowds and get them to lift their heads towards the promised land and say, there it is. There it is, the land flowing with milk and honey. The land God promised to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob. The land God rescued us from slavery to possess. Look, it's here. Here is our moment. It's here, it's now, and it's us. The Lord said, go. But the people 40 years earlier said no. God said, go. And the people said no. And Moses says, we missed our moment. And it's taken 40 years for it to come around again. Moses takes them back to that crucial and pivotal moment in the history of God's people to press home a really important truth that we should never waste God-given opportunities. One wasted generation is enough. He's saying to them, don't be another generation that misses the moment. Don't be another wandering generation. Don't be a full of regrets generation. Did you notice the seemingly insignificant, incidental detail in verse 2? It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Seir to Kadesh Barnea. It's hugely significant to the point that Moses is making here. What took 11 days back then has taken God's people in front of Moses as he preached these words, not 40 days, not 40 weeks, not 40 months, but 40 years to recover, to reclaim. Friends, here's our first big lesson from Deuteronomy. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. God, in the history of his people, God from time to time gives his people moments. Moments that don't come around every day, or every week, or every month, or every year, or even every decade. Sometimes they take 40 years to come around. Friends, can you see, can you feel, can you sense that God has given us a moment here and now? A moment in the history of this church. A moment in the geography of Southport, a moment in the history of 2015. Here's what Moses said to them, and here's what I say to you. Don't miss the moment. It's here, it's now, and it's us. Okay, let me just wrap it up in this way. I want to close the sermon with what I'm going to call a big ending, okay? I want to apply the first big lesson being don't miss the moment. I want to apply that lesson to everyone here. I want to apply it, first of all, to those of you here who are not Christians. So as you listen to me preach to God's people this morning, perhaps you felt a little like you were listening to somebody else's mail being read. But I really want to assure you that your presence here this morning was not an accident. Our God is the God of the details. You were meant to be here this morning, and you were meant to hear this message this morning. God has ordained it so. God too has given you a moment. I just want you to capture the moment too. The here and the now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of God's favor. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, now is my time. Now is my moment. Jesus took his moment so that you could have your moment. And he took his moment on the way to a cross. And he died on a cross so sinful people can be forgiven, can be brought into a relationship with God. He took his moment so you can have a moment now. So you can receive everything that he died for you to receive. Don't miss the moment. Don't walk away from that moment. Don't walk away from all that Jesus offers you. You may have had countless opportunities before. This may be the first time you've ever walked into this building. Maybe this is the first you've ever heard of this thing, these things. Well, can I plead with you to come and join a community of heaven-bound people who are not perfect, but we are loved by God and we're trying to live for God? Would you come and join us here? Would you come and respond in this moment with belief, with faith? Would you put your trust in Jesus? That's how you should respond. All those who believe will be saved. Secondly, I want to speak to the members here, those of you who are already committed to this church in membership. And I want to say to you the same as I've just said to the non-Christians here, don't miss your moment. Okay? Would you let this moment inspire you? The dictionary definition for inspire goes like this: to animate the mind or emotions, to serve as a source of inspiration, to stimulate, to impel to a particular feeling or action. It's not every day you appoint a new pastor. It's not every year you appoint a new pastor. So as we turn the page onto a new chapter in our history, as we look together as a leadership, as a people, on how we might better bless Southport, as we turn the page onto a new chapter in our history, I want to say to you too, don't miss the moment. Be aware of it. Be inspired by it. Grab it with both hands. Make it count. And then finally, I just want to speak to those of you here who are attendees. So you're Christians. You're here this morning. You're not committed members. I want to speak to you. I want to apply this moment to you too. What I have to say to you is what I said to the non-Christians: don't miss your moment. To the committed members: don't miss your moment. Same to you: don't miss your moment. There's a moment here and now to get involved, to step up to the plate, to step out of the shadows, to come and join God's people here, to align yourself with God's people here. God has given every Christian gifts. He saved you for works of service prepared in advance for you to do. The best way you can use and utilize your gifts is in the community of commitment with God's people. I want to unleash those gifts on Southport. I want them to work together harmoniously. Listen, whatever's held you back in the past, I want to assure you that God is the God of new starts and fresh beginnings. This is our moment. Let's pray.
And just as we pause, can I just plead with you to pray to God. God is just a prayer away. And He will hear your prayer. Lord, as we just take a moment to reflect on what we've heard, give us the courage and the faith to respond to what we've heard. Would you come and bless us as a people? You are the God intent on blessing the nations. Would you come and bless Southport and the world through us? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.